Today's daf is Yevamos daf Nun Tes, and we are three lines from the bottom of daf Nun Ches Amid Beis Nisarmalu Oy Niskarshu V'chulu. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devora, Devora bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Elazar Lipashala ben Feger Rachel, Sarah Nechama bas Rus Malka, Baruch ben Rachel, Malka Miriam bas Esther, and Esther Kreindl bas Devora. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Reb Zecharia Shimon ben Reb Yitzchak HaKoyen, and Le'ilu Nishmas Shlomo ben Yebod L'chaim Toivim Reb Chaim Doiv. So the topic of the daf, the last two dafin, was the idea that if a woman is married to a kohen, however, the marriage is a marriage that's not okay, the halacha is that even though ordinarily a kohen is meichel ishtoi betruma, but in this instance he will not be able to be Michael Herbert Truma. In fact, this is true even if the woman is a Bas Koyin, where she's allowed to eat Truma on her own merit, based on her own Yichus, regardless of the fact that she's married to a Koyin. If, however, she'd be married to someone that she's not allowed to be married to, the halacha is the marriage would render her a Chalala, and the halacha is that she herself would not be able to eat Truma. The Mishnah and Daf Nun Vav on the days brought an epic machloikis tanam, a machloikis between Rab Meir on the one hand, Rab Elazar, Rab Shimon on the other hand. And that is what happens if you have, for example, an almana that's married to a kohen gadol, a grusha v'chalutza that's married to a kohen hedyon, where that's not okay. However, the marriage never developed into nesuin. It never led to a bia. All there was erusin. And the question is, do we say that the marriage of erusin is enough to render this woman puzzle from being able to eat truma? Or maybe erusin in and of itself is not enough to make her not be able to eat truma. For that, you would have to have nesuin, or even more than that, for that, you would have to have bia. Rav Meir said, "Amana l'kayin gadol grusha v'chalutza l'kayin hedyon mina erusin lo yoichlu b'truma." Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, Machshirin, they hold she's allowed to eat truma. What's the machloikis? The Gemara said Rav Meir holds mishtameres l'bia psula de raisa lo yochlo. Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon hold mishtameres l'bia psula de raisa achlo. What does that mean? That was the topic of the previous two dafin. It's not necessary for today's daf to recap that, to introduce that, and to chasna that. What we need, as it relates to the sugi that we were learning, was the very last line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that even though Rav Meir holds that in almana l'kohen gadol grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyon min ha'erusin, the halach is lo yoichlu b'truma, but that's only as long as she's an arusa. However, in the event that the husband, the kohen, died when they were in a state of erusin, or he divorced her while they were merely in a state of erusin, then the halacha is, even Rav Meir would agree, k'sheiros, that she'd be allowed to eat truma. However, if there was nesuin, and then he died, or then he gave her a get, then the halacha is, even after the fact that this marriage was terminated, still she won't be able to eat truma. What's the difference? The difference is pashat. In the event that there's nesuin, there was a bia, so then she actually became a chalala. Once she's a chalala, she'll never be able to eat truma. Because once a chalala is always a chalala. So it's for that reason, she'll never be able to eat truma. However, in the event that all there was erusin, so really she never became a chalala. Because all there was erusin. Even though Rav Meir holds that that mina erusin, she's not allowed to eat truma, that's only because she's mishtameres l'biya psula. However, being that all it was erusin, she never actually became a chalala, and because she never actually became a chalala, so it's for that reason the halach is that once the erusin is terminated, at that point, she's a bas koyin, she's allowed to go back to eating truma. The point is that even Rav Meir in the Mishnah agrees that the only time a woman would become a chalala because she's an almana l'kayin gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kayin hedyon, is if there was an asuin, or better, if there was a bia. However, if all there was erusin, everybody is going to agree she's not a chalala. Even Rav Meir, who held in the last two dafin that almana l'kayin gadol mina erusin, grusha v'chalutza l'kayin hedyon mina erusin, the halach is lo yoichlu b'truma, but that's only because of a svara chitzoini of mishtameres labia psula deraisa layachla. But not because she's a chalala. Lamay nafgamina, when the marriage is terminated. If she would be a chalala, like if there was a nesuin and a bia, so then once a chalala is always a chalala, then moving forward she would not be able to eat truma. But if she's not a chalala, all it is a svara mishtameres labia psula, well, that's true as long as they're married. But once they're not married, she's not mishtameres labia psula anymore, and it's for that reason that Allah is, at that point, she will be able to go back, even according to Rameyer, and eat truma. So what's the one thing that we need to take away from the last line of the Mishnah? And that is, a woman becomes a chalala only min hanesuin. But if all there was erusin, she will never become a chalala. Even Rameyer in our Mishnah would agree with that. On that note, talk to Gemara. Boy, Rav Chiya bar Yosef Mishmos. Rav Chiya bar Yosef asked Shmuel the following question. Koyin gadol shekidesh esaktanu. A koyin gadol was mekadesh esaktanu. Ubagra tachtav. And then this ketana became a baigeris. So a ketana is a girl that's less than 12 years old. A baigeris is a girl that's 12 and a half years old. So from 0 to 12, a girl is considered a ketana. When she turns 12, she becomes a naira. She remains a naira for 6 months. And then once she turns 12 and a half, she then becomes a baigeris. So the shaila was where a kohen gadol was mekadesh a ketana, and then the ketana became a baigeris during the state of erusin. Mahu. The question is she allowed to go, or is he allowed to now do nesuin, or is he not allowed to do nesuin? Now what's the shaila? So really, the hakdama to this gemara is the next Mishnah that we're going to learn. So we'll wait really for the next Mishnah to properly understand the Gemara that we're learning right now. But in short, what we need to know is that a kohen gadol was not allowed to marry a baigeris. And the reason a kohen gadol was not allowed to marry a baigeris is because it says in the Torah, v'hu isha b'fsuleh yikach, that a kohen gadol had to marry a psula. And Chazal were under the impression that once a girl becomes a baigeris, at that point, she's no longer a psula. Now, so we assume, not that she's not a psula at all, but it could be she loses some of her psulim, and because she loses some of her psulim, naturally, there is a manda omar, as we're going to see in the course of the daf, that holds that she's not enough of a psula for a kohen gadol to be able to be married to her. So a kohen gadol is allowed to marry a ketana, he's allowed to marry a naira, but to marry by geris, that's something that he's not allowed to do. Why? Because it says, v'isha b'psula yikach, he's only allowed to marry a psula, and the assumption is that once she's a by geris, she's not going to be considered a psula anymore. So what was the question that Tamayram were pondering? What did Rav Chiya bar Yosef ask Shmuel? He wanted to know, what happens if a kohen gadol was mekadesh a ketana, which was okay. And then, after the eris and before the nesuin, she became a baigeris. The question is he allowed to now consummate the marriage? Is he allowed to do nesuin? Is he not allowed to do nesuin? What's the shayla? Bas nesuin azlinon, bas eris azlinon. The iser, the din, v'hu isha b'tzuleh yikach, does that mean erusin or does that mean nesuin? If it means erusin, so at the time of erusin she was a basula. The fact that she became a begeris after the erusin is not going to be a problem. If that's the case, then it's going to be okay for him to do nesuin. If, however, when it says in the Torah, v'isha b'fsulah yikach, yikach means nesuin, so the fact that he did erusin when she was a ketana is neither here nor there. Right now it's a question of doing nesuin. Right now she's a begeris. A begeris is someone that doesn't have all her psulim, and as a result, it's going to be a problem. Now it's interesting that really the crux of the question is how to teach a word in the pasuk. V'hu isha b'fsuleh yikach. Right, what does the word yikach mean? Does yikach mean erusin or does yikach mean nesuin? The truth is, in the parashiyos of the Torah that talk about marriage, you find the word kicha meaning erusin and you find the word kicha meaning nesuin. The pasuk that introduces marriage, ki yikach ish isha u'ba'ala. Kicha, kicha, mistei Ephraim. What does kicha mean? Ki yikach? It means erusin. So you see, the word yikach means erusin. There's another pasuk when the Yidden used to go to war. So there was the Meshuach Muhammad would get up, he'd give a motivational speech and a big pep talk, and he would read psukim in the Torah, and then he would start discharging different people. And he told them, "You're not obligated to fight. You're not obligated to fight." So one of the people that didn't have to fight was the pasuk says, "Umiho ish ashe eras isha." If someone's in Shonari Shaina, he can go home. Now the pasuk says, "Umiyo ish ashe eras isha." He did erusin, but v'loy lekacha. Sounds like, but there was no nesuin. So you see, the word lekacha could also mean nesuin. So kiyikach means erusin, it also means nesuin. So hence the Gemara Shaila when it says v'isha b'fsuleh yikach. What does this yikach mean? Is it miloshin kiyikach ish isha? If that's the case, it means erusin. So it's the erusin that has to be done in a state of katnus or nairus. being that when the Kohen Gadol was Mekadosh this woman, she was a Ketanis, and everything is going to be okay. Or maybe it's Miloshin, or Mio Isha She'eras Isha V'loy L'kacha Yelech V'yashav L'beisai. Over there, Kincha means Nesu'in. Now, if it means Nesu'in, the fact that the Eras didn't happen when she was a Ketana, that doesn't help me. At the end of the day, there's going to be an Isra and Nesu'in right now. So the question was, when it says in the Torah, Isha B'Psulah Yikach, Kohen Gadol has to marry, Psula does the definition of marriage in that pasuk mean erusin, or does it mean nesuin? So this was the question that Shmuel was asked. Amar Leisa, Shmuel told Rav Chiya bar Yosef, I'll bring you a raya. Not a mafurish raya, not a direct hit, but at the same time he said, efshir amikar, maybe a shtikla raya after your child. Tini so from our Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah said, this armalwai, this garshu, mina nesuim, psulais, mina erusin ksheirois. In the event that Amon was married to a Kohen Gadol, Krushav Chalutz was married to a Kohen Hayt, said, Allah is, they become possible from eating truma. Why? Because they're chalolim. Now, machlik's Rameir was Reb Shimon, what if there was only erusin? According to Rameir, Mishnah Maris will be a psula. According to Blas, Reb Shimon, there's no such halacha. But everybody agrees that in the event that it was Nisarmel and Nisgarsha, if it was Menanasuin, it's going to be a problem. If it's Menarisin, it's not going to be a problem. And what's the reason, like we spoke at in the introduction? Because if it was Nisuin, there was a Bia, so then what? She's a halal. If she's a halal, she'll never be able to eat truma. However, if all there was Eris, and even Rav Meir is going to agree she's not a halal, all it is Mishnah Meris will be a psula. And if that's the case, Nisarmel and Nisgar, she's not Mishnah Meris will be a psula anymore, it won't be a problem. But what you see from there is that how does a woman become a halal? Only Menan Nisuin. So the Gemara is assuming that if the way a woman becomes a chalala, so that now she's aser be kahuna, is through nesuin, so that you see that the dogush, when it comes to psule kahuna, is nesuin, so it's mistaber that the mitzvah, or the iser, for a kohen gadol to marry a besula, is also related to nesuin, just like halal is totally in nesuin, it's mistamber v'uisha b'vsulei yikach is also totally in nesuin. So this is what Shmuel told Rav Chiya bar Yosef. But the Gemara says amale. So Rav Chiya bar Yosef told Shmuel. He says, I don't understand the right. L'shavil halal leikami bayli. As it relates to halal, I knew. I don't think it's a tzurshdal. The bia he the meshavil halal. It's pasha that it's bia that creates halal. Ki kami bayli. My shayla was over here regarding the halacha of u'isha b'vsulei yikach. I don't know if this is a tzurshdal to halal. What's the shayla when it says v'hu isha b'vsulei yikach? My tichad the kedusha b'idan. I tichad the nesuin. Right, I don't think it's a tzurshdal. I understand that the only time a woman becomes a chalala is through nesuin. But what does that have to do with my shayla? I'm not discussing chalala. I'm discussing the hu ishna b'vsulei yikach. Now, what's the svara? Why was it so pashutim that chalala should be totally in nesuin, but when it comes to isha b'vsulei yikach, there he has it decided to be totally in erusin? The svara is pashut. Because why is it that a woman becomes a chalala in the event that she was married to someone she wasn't allowed to marry? So Rashi in the Mishnah Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis quoted Chazal that says, it says in the Torah, lo yichalal shnei chilulim echad lo ve'echad lazara. There's a halacha that any time a woman's married to a man, where if she would have a child, the child would be a chalal, then she becomes a chalala. So it comes out the whole makar that a woman becomes a chalala when she's in a bad marriage is because if she would father a mother, a child, the child would be a chalala. Oh, your child would be a chalala? So mamela, you're a chalala. Oh, when would there be a child? Only if there was nesuin and there was a bia. So it's mistaber that chalala is totally a bia. But the mitzvah or the iser of huisha b'tzulea, yikach, mechatesi, has anything to do with nesuin more than it has to do with erisin. It says yikach. Yikach is ki, yikach is isha. Kicha, kicha, mistay efren. It's ma'ud mistaber that all there was an erisin, and still that's going to be the halacha. So the Gemara says, Amalei, regardless, Shmuel told Rav Chiya bar Yosef, I have another raya. He said, Honami Tani Sua, I'll bring you a raya from the following Mishnah. Coming up, Eras es Amono. What happens if a Kohen Gadol did erisin with an Amon? So we know a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Amon. That's also coming up in the following Mishnah. Finis man is Kohen Gadol. See, this man was ma'aris an Amon. At the time, he wasn't the Kohen Gadol yet. And then, during the state of erisin, he was promoted, and he became the Kohen Gadol. So the question is he allowed to follow through with the marriage or not? So the halacha is yichnois. Yeah, he's allowed to follow through with the marriage. Now, how's he allowed to follow through with the marriage? He's a Kohen Gadol now. If he's a Kohen Gadol, he's not allowed to do nesuin. Oh, you know what it must mean? The pshat must be that the issur for a Kohen Gadol to marry an almana is to do erisin. And being that he already did the erisin before he was a Kohen Gadol, so there's no issur for him to do nesuin. Now, if the issur for a Kohen Gadol to marry an almana is totally an erisin, so now already it's mistaber, right? This is a lot more matin. It seems like a more direct tzurshdal that the din v'isha b'vsulei yikach is also going to be min erisin, right? These are the two halachas that govern the Kohen Gadol and who he's allowed to marry. Kohen Hedid has a list of women that he's not allowed to marry. B'noisef was that the Kohen Gadol has to marry a psula and is not allowed to marry an almana. Now, if almana, it seems pretty clear from this Mishnah, it's nesuin that's It's Erisin that's the problem. Again, how do you see it's Erisin that's the problem? Because as long as the Erisin was okay, we don't care about the Nisuin. Oh, must be it was the Erisin that was the issue. So it's Mestaber V'Yishev V'Sala Yikach is also going to be Tali in Erisin. And just to explain the Gemara, a Masha who better, and that is, what's the Makar that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana? It says Almana Ugrusha V'Chalala Zoyna Es Eila Lo Yikach. But then it says, ki im besula me'amav, yikach isha. So it says the same word yikach. The same word yikach that it says regarding the fact that a Kohen Gadol has to marry a besula, it says with regards to the fact that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. So just like when it says lo yikach regarding who the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry, meaning the almana, what does it mean? It means mino erisin v'araya, because if the erisin was good, we don't care about the nesuim. So it's misnava regarding besula, it's going to be the same thing, but the Gemara says no. This is also not a good sushta, because I can tell you, Shani Hossam, maybe as it relates to Issur Amana, it's different and better. As it relates to the specific case where the Kohen Gadol was not a Kohen Gadol yet, he did Erisin with Almana, and then afterwards he became the Kohen Gadol, where we say that he's allowed to do Nesu'in, it's based on a Riboy. The Pasuk says, Yikach Isha, and we learn from there that in this instance, it's okay for him to consummate the marriage. What does that mean? Almana Ugrusha V'Chalala Zayna, so the same pasuk that says that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almana says at the end, yikach isha. The words yikach isha are extra, and it's coming to teach me there's a time a Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry an almana. When is that? In the event that the erisin was done before he was the Kohen Gadol, then he could do the nesuin even though he's already Kohen Gadol. So loyim, I'll tell you, maybe yikach means mina nesuin. Aye, then why is the Kohen Gadol allowed to do the nesuin? It's because there's a special riboy, and because there's a special riboy, that's why in this case it's going to be okay. But the Gemara says that if that's the case, hachinami ksiv isha l'chura, then we should say that if you're telling me that even on the tzad, that the Isra model Kohen Gadol is Nesu'in, but still if the Kohen Gadol did the Erisin when he wasn't the Kohen Gadol yet, and then the matzav changed between Erisin and Nesu'in, so the halach is he's allowed to complete it, even though really he shouldn't be allowed to complete it. But the halach is he's allowed to complete it based on the fact that it says Yikach Isha. So really the same thing should be true in Rav Chiya ben Yosef Shaila. What was Rav Chiya ben Yosef Shaila? It was the same exact situation where the Kohen Gadol did the Kedushin when she was a Besula, and then between the Kedushin and the Nesu'in, she became a Bungris. Now she's already not considered a Besula anymore. With the Zasafik now, is she allowed to consummate the marriage or is she not allowed to consummate the marriage? What's the Shaila? On the Tzad that the Issa is an Issa Nesu'in, it should be okay. L'chaira, just like you're telling me I'm model Kohen Gadol, even on the Tzad that the Issa is an Issa Nesu'in, being that it says Yikach Isha in the Pasuk that says Isser, Yikach Isha tells me there's a time that it's Mutter, that's considered a Riboy. So why don't you say the same thing over here? This should be considered a Riboy, right? It's the same exact Pasuk. Almanu Grusha V'chalol Azayin Nesayil Yikach. So if Yikach Isha is going back on Almana Lo Yikach, it's also going back on Ki'im Besula Me'amav. So Yikach Isha should tell me that even in this case, regardless of what the definition of Yikach is, it should be okay. So the Gemara says, it says, Yikach Isha Loshen Yochid, Isha Achas V'lo Yishtayim. So you can be Marba 1, you can't be Marba 2. Therefore, we get the pick, and we're Marba Almana Lo Kohen Gadol, if he became a Kohen Gadol in between Erisin and Nesu'in, as opposed to the halacha that a Kohen Gadol has to marry a psula, where she became a bageris in between the Eris and the Nesu'in. The Gemara says, Amai Ros. How do you know what to be marba and what to be mamai? Maybe be marba if she went from Ketana to bageris and be mamai tfakert amonel Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, it's mestabe because ha ishtani gufa, v'hadol ishtani gufa. In one case, the mitzias changed, and in the other case, the mitzias didn't change. When the Ketana went from being a Ketana to a Begeres, something physically changed, biologically. And as a result, it's a Shtani Gufa, Dosushen, and Andere Metzias. So it's less Mistarba that we're going to be Marba such a case. As opposed to when this person went from not being the Kohen Gadol to being the Kohen Gadol, spiritually maybe he changed. But it's Loya Shtani Gufa, and because it's Loya Shtani Gufa, or better, the Amana herself, Rashi says, certainly nothing changed with, right? She's the same Amana. Really, the only thing that changed was the Kohen Gadol status. So the bottom line is, and being that it's Loya Shtani Gufa, it's Mestaba that that's what we're going to be Marvis. So really, the first part of today's daf was a good introduction to the next part of today's daf, and that is we're going to go Me'inyan Le'inyan, very much Ba'isa Inyan, and we're going to discuss the women that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry. So again, this really requires a more proper introduction. We'll save it for a raid by one of these days. But the gist of it is something we're familiar with. And that is, the Torah says that because Kohanim are more Kaddish than Yisraelim, their Kedusha governs their Yisurei Biyah. It governs who they are and aren't allowed to marry. The Pasuk says, that in addition to all the people that a yid is not allowed to marry, a kohen has his own list. Isha zoyna v'chalala lo yikachu, v'isha gerusha me isha lo yikachu. Why? Ki kadeshu lo yikachu. So because the kohen is kadesh, so therefore there are three women that he's not allowed to marry. He's not allowed to marry a zoyna, he's not allowed to marry a chalala, and he's not allowed to marry a grusha. Now, what does a zoyna mean? So loosely translated, we know what a zoyna means. But as we're going to see already in today's daf, that the Chazal definition of a zoyna was very, very specific. In fact, major machlokes tanam in terms of defining what a zoyna is, when it says in the Torah, Isha zoyna lo yikachu. So just because a woman was mezana doesn't necessarily render her a zoyna. There's a very technical definition of what a zoyna is. What's a chalala? What's a grusha? Again, this is not for now. The psukim can continue. Here again, all in the beginning of Parashas Emor, was still before Sheini, and it says that in addition to all the women that a kohen is not allowed to marry, a kohen gadol has a separate list. Kohen gadol is v'hu isha b'psula yikach. Number one, a kohen gadol has to marry a psula. And then it says, almana ugrusha v'chalala zoyna es eila lo yikach, kiyim b'sula me'am v'yikach isha. So the Torah chazes over everything. It chazes over that a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry grusha chalala v'zoyna. L'chura, you would think he's included in kohen hegit. Why does the Torah have to chazer over and say that he's also not allowed to marry the grusha chalala and the zoyna? Not for now. Torah adds that he's not allowed to marry the almana, and then the Torah chazes over again that he has to marry a psula. But in short, a kohen hegit is not allowed to marry a zoyna, chalala, and a grusha. In addition to that, the kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. Kohen gadol also is not allowed to marry a woman that's not a psula. As it relates to zoyna, chalol, and grusha, loisase. Almana, loisase. As it relates to the fact that a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a woman that's not a psula, that's an iserase. For who isha bifsule or yikach? Ki im bifsule me'am of yikach isha. That is merely an ase. So what happens if a kohen gadol marries an almana? What is he over? So it depends. Is she an almana min ha'erisin? Or is she an almana min ha'nesuin? If she was an almana min ha'nesuin, so then the assumption is she's not a basula anymore. So then he'd be over two yisurim. Number one, the lois asay of marrying an almana. And number two, the asay of who isha bifsula yikach. If she was an almana min ha'erisin, so then he would be over the lois asay of marrying an almana, because an almana min ha'erisin is oichit an almana, as we're about to learn. But in terms of the asay of who isha bifsula yikach, that already he wouldn't be over. Either way, Sok the Mishnah. Kohen gadol lo yisa almana. Kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. Bein almana min erisin, bein almana min anasuin. It doesn't matter if she's an almana min erisin. It doesn't matter if she's an almana min anasuin. Like we just said, either one is included in almana. For lo yisa es habegeris, a kohen gadol is also not allowed to marry a begeris. Like we saw in the previous Gemara. Why? So the Gemara is going to explain it. But we know already, like we said, the first Gemara was an introduction. Because a begeris is considered not to be a proper besula. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Machshirim, Bebagris, Rabbi Shimon argued, and they said that a kohen gadol is allowed to marry a begeris. Because again, a begeris, whether she is or isn't a besula, is questionable. And therefore, it was a machlekes tanam. Tanakama says, lo yisa a begeris. The Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon argued, they said that he can marry a begeris. And finally, v'lo yisa mukaseitz. Kohen gadol is not allowed to marry mukaseitz. That's something that we're going to learn more about in the coming days. Zok de Gemara, a braisa. Tanu Rabbanon, almana lo yikach. It says in the Torah, kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. And we know from there, mein almana ben erisin, mein almana ben anasuin. It doesn't matter if she was almana ben erisin. It doesn't matter if she was almana ben anasuin. Fit the Gemara pshita, it's pashit. I need a braisa to tell me that? I need a mishnah to tell me that? An almana is an almana. So why would you think an almana min erisin shouldn't be considered an almana? We know that erisin is marriage with regards to all the dinei Torah. Kemat. So if that's the case, so why would you think that almana min erisin is not an almana? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. I would have thought, leilof almana almana mitamer. I would think you should learn Xeris Shava. It says almana that kohen gadol is not married almana. And the Torah referred to Tamar, who was Yehuda's daughter-in-law, as an almana. And mala halaman anasuin, just like Tamar was an almana min anasuin, afkam min anasuin. So I would have thought that maybe the almana that kohen gadol is not allowed to marry is also an almana min anasuin. Kamash malan, that's why we need a mishnah, that's why we need a braisa, to tell me that no, almana means bein almana min erisin, bein almana min anasuin. Feit gemar ve'em hachinami. You made such a compelling argument, such an interesting havamina. Maybe we should learn almana, almana from Tamar, and say that only almana min anasuin is considered an almana. How taka do we know lefia emes that an almana min erisin is an almana? So the Gemara says dumi de gerusha, because the pasuk juxtaposed the fact that a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana, and the fact that a kohen gadol kohen hadid also, but the pasuk said it again regarding a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a grusha. It said almana ugrusha So we learn Ma'gerusha be'menanasum be'menaneris, and just like Gerusha is menanasum be'menaneris, and Rashi says why? Because there's no svara to say not that way, right? There's no havamina to think that Gerusha is only menaneris, and so is only menanasum. So Gerusha is for sure menaneris and menanasum. Afamana be'menaneris menanasum. So to Amana is going to be menaneris and be'menanasum. So the bottom line is Amana, and God is not allowed to marry the Mishnah, the Braisna, bein Amana menaneris and bein Amana menanasum. It's so poshit that the Gemara said, pshita. I would have thought, learning Xer Shavar from Tamar. Tamar was referred to in the Torah as an Amana. She was an Amana and an Anasuin. So, Solkadayt Chamina, Amana, maybe in the Torah, biblically speaking, is only Amana and Anasuin. Kamashbon, that's not the way it is. Doesn't matter, Amana and Anasuin, Amana and Erisin. Either way, she's considered an Amana, Lamay Nafkamina, that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry her. V'layisa is Habegeres. Then the Mishnah said, V'layisa is Habegeres. But then the Mishnah said, not everybody agrees with that. Rabbi Loz, Rabbi Shimon hold that Kohen Gadol is allowed to marry Begeris. Not related to an Amana, there's no Machlaik, it's a Pasuk in the Torah. Begeris already, it's not a Pasuk in the Torah. So that was a Machlaik Yistanam. So the Gemara is going to bring a Braisa now that's going to give us the Makar to this Machlaik Yistanam. Tanu Rabbanon, it says in the Torah, V'isha b'psula yikach. Kohen Gadol has to marry a psula. We learn from here, Prat lo b'geres, shekalu lo b'sula, divi Rameh. Rameh says that from this passage, we learn that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a b'geres. Why? Because a b'geres is kalu lo b'sula. Now, the simple reading of these words, kalu lo b'sula, sounds a little bit like a b'geres doesn't have sulam at all. Stating that, Rashi says, not here, but Rashi says in other places, that it's not true. It's not that she's kalu lo b'sula, the gamri, but rather, some of her b'sulam were kalu, and as a result, Rameh holds that if a woman doesn't have some of her besulin, even though it happened naturally, that's enough for her not to be a besula, and therefore a mayor holds lo yisnas abegeres. Well, Lazar Rav Shimon machshirim bebagres. However, Lazar Rav Shimon holds that she is a land of marry begeres. So the Gemara in my kibbutz, what's the machlekes with the kengadol's land of marry begeres? Kengadol's not land of marry begeres. So the Gemara says a mayor holds that it says in the Torah who isha bifsuleo yikach. And the truth is, the word bifsuleo feels like a very wordy word, right? It's a long word. Really, what the pasuk could have said was "Vahu isha b'sula yikach." It says "bifsuleha," and really, if you look at the word a little more carefully, there seem to be two extra letters: one in the front of the word, and then one at the end of the word. Bivsuleha, there seems to be an extra base, and then bivsuleha, the yud seems to be extra as well. So the Gemara is going to say that the Tanam both darshin these extra letters, however, they darshaned it differently. So the Gemara says, Rameyer held that had it said the word besula in the Torah, which is what it could have, would have, should have said, then you would have thought, afilu miksas besula mashma. Then you would think that a woman that has miksas besulim is considered a besula. Therefore, the Torah wrote the word besula can teach me ad ikka kola besulim. Besula, the extra word, teaches me, it's not enough that she's a besula, she has mixas besulin. It has to be bifsuleha, she has to have all her besulin. Okay, when it says in the Torah, the extra bays in front of the word, bifsuleha, so that's coming to teach me, that the only time a woman loses her status as being a besula is if there was be a kedarka. However, if there was be a shaloi kedarka, that's not going to affect her status as being a besula, which makes sense, because be a kedarka would be meisha the besulim. Be a shaloi kedarka would not be meisha the besulim. Saying that, we'll see in a minute, not everybody agrees with this halacha. But the bottom line is, Rameyer said two things. Rameyer said, number one, the halacha is that in order for a woman to be considered a besula, she has to have all the besulim, meaning a begeris is not considered a besula. Number two, the only way for a woman to, through bia, not be considered a besula, it's if it was a bia kedarka. If it's like kedarka, is not going to impact her besulim. Rav Shimon argued. They held again that a woman that has her, is it, that's a begeres, is still considered a besula. How did they come to that? They held besula, besula, shleima mashma. Had it said in the Torah the word besula, which again, which is what it could have, would have, should have said, then you would have thought that besula means she's a gansa besula. She has all the besulim. Besuleha. So when the Torah wrote the word besuleha, that yud, it's nafilu mitzas besulim. That teaches me fakared a miyot. That even if she has mitzas besulim, she's still going to be considered a besula, and therefore begeris is considered a besula. When it says bifsula, the extra bays in the front, it's ad sheyu kol besula kayamin. We learn from this she has to have all her besulim, and bein bekedarka, bein shalei kedarka. Even if she had a bein shalei kedarka, that's enough to make her not be a besula. So the Gemara just explained the machloikis between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, which is the machlokes in our Mishnah. And by the way, just like in the previous Mishnah, Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, it's the machlokes Rav Meir, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. And also, just like in the previous Mishnah didn't mention Rav Meir. It was just the Tanakama. It's not Mishnah's Rav Meir. It was just the Tanakama. Here too, again, it's just the Tanakama. But in the Gemara, we see in the Brisa, we see it's Rav Meir. So again, what was the machlokes? Is a kengadol let him marry begeris and not? For lo yisos habegeris. That's Rav Meir shita. Rav Elazar Rav Shimon amachshirim bebegeris. And what is a talian? It's talian how you darshin the word. Bifsulea. From Bifsulea, Rav Meir said, you learned that a begeris is not considered a besula, therefore lo yisas habegeris. Rav Elazar Rav Shimon fakert. They said from Bifsulea, from the Zelbed Rasha, they darshan just the opposite. They said, you see from there, that a begeris is considered a besula, and as a result, it's going to be okay. But in the Braisa, we also saw that based on how you darshan Bifsulea, l'rabbi begeris, l'mayit begeris, there's a derivative machlokes. There's another machlokes that comes about, and that is what happens if a besula had a beer shalei gedarka. Does that make her not a besula, or does not make her a beer? Does not make her not a besula? Rav Meir holds beer shalei gedarka would not make her not a besula. Rav Elazar Rav Shimon said that we learn from the extra bays, bein begedarka, bein shalei gedarka, even a beer shalei gedarka can make her not into a besula. Now, from the Braisa, it sounds like these two drushes are totally zeh bezeh, right? What you hold regarding begeris is going to somehow play out in terms of how you hold with regards to Bia Shalai Gedarka, in terms of the drasha. If you darshan by Geris or the extra yud one way, you're going to darshan the bays this way. And if you darshan the yud the other way, you're going to darshan the bays the other way. So Ayin Rashi, where Rashi explains that the truth is these two drashas are really tali zebezet. But on that note, the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Knivala Shalai Gedarka, Psula Likahun. Now, the truth is, this line of Rav Yehuda Marav is sasum, and the next part of the daf is going to discuss what exactly Rav Yehuda Marav meant. But Rashmi says right away that Rav Yehuda Marav was discussing a woman that was nivala shalei kedarka, that's pretty clear, psula likahuna, meaning likoyin god. And what Rav was saying was, is that being that a kohen gadol has to marry a psula, in the event that she had this psula, a bia shalei kedarka, that makes her into a ba'ula. If she's a ba'ula, so then the halacha is going to be, at that point, she's going to be asked to marry a kohen gadol, which essentially is the sheet of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, which is really the like Rav Meir, right? So Rabbi Yehuda Marav didn't paskin like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, but he essentially said the halacha of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. We'll hold that thought. But what's Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, what's Rabbi Yehuda Marav saying? Nivelo shaloi kedarka is psul lakun. Now Rashi asks another kasha. Rashi says that Nivala Shalei Kedarka is Psula L'Kayin Gadol. Say better. If she was Nivala Shalei Kedarka, then L'Chayra, she should be a Zayna. And if she's a Zayna, then she should be Pasul not only to a Kayin Gadol, even to a Kayin Hedyet. So Rashi, that's not a Kasha. Because there's a very specific definition of what Zayna means. So no one said that this Bia was even a Bia Sisser. Right? No one said that that's what happened. We'll see the Maskana Sagamara, it wasn't a Bia Sisser. So, who said it was even a Bia Sisser? So if it wasn't a Bia Sisser, there's no reason that she necessarily has to become a Zayna. The question is she a Ba'ula or not? And that's why Rehuda Merab Paskin, that a Bia Shalei Kedarka would make someone a Ba'ula, which essentially sounds like he's saying the Shito of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rabba, Rav asked the Kasha. It says in the Torah, V'loi Siya Le'isha. Now the context of this Pasuk is, a man was Ma'anes Anayra. The halacha is, he has to pay a knas, and in addition to the knas that he has to pay, chamishim kesef, he also has a mitzvah to marry this woman. Now, if the woman doesn't want to marry him, I omra loy be'ina, then that's okay. But in the event that she wants to marry him, he's forced to marry her. The reason is because there was an idea that once a woman was nensa, it may be more difficult for her to get married moving forward. And as a result, this man is the man that caused her to be in this compromised state as it relates to her ability to get married. So, part of the knas is that he now has to take care of her. He's going to have to provide her with sherek susva'ino. He's going to be obligated to marry her. But it says in the Torah, v'loy siyel isha, this is the mitzvah that it says that if someone's ma'anas an isha, marry her. B'darshind, did chazal, b'isha haru yoloi. That the only time there's a mitzvah v'loy siyel isha is if this woman is a woman that is appropriate for him to marry. Meaning it's a woman that he's allowed to marry. Okay, kigoyim, prat, la'amana l'kayin gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kayin yaiti. If she was an amana, this woman, and he was a kayin gadol, so the kayin gadol was ma'anis, this woman, right, bayesheni. So the kayin gadol was ma'anis, this woman, or if she was a grusha v'chalutza, and he was a kayin hedyet, so then there's no v'loisi al-isha. Why not? Because she's not an isha ruyalai. So the Gemara says, hey chidami, the case of A Kohen Gadol was ma'anis an almana. We're saying there's no mitzvah v'leisi elisha because a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. What was the situation? Is it talking about when he was ma'anis or he was ma'anis or kedarka? Why do you have to come into the fact that in a previous life she was an almana? What does that have to do with anything? Right now, this man was ma'anisar. So right now she's a ba'ula. A Kohen Gadol has to marry a basula. So she's anyways not Isha Ru'yulai. She was an Amman. Who cares if she was an Amman? Right now she's a ba'ula. That's all that matters. Even if she wasn't an Amman previously. Ella lav shalai kedarka. Probably it's talking about where it was a bi. Yosh shalai kedarka. Oh, if it was a bi, shalai kedarka. So therefore she didn't become a ba'ula. If she didn't become a ba'ula, therefore the only time she would be not an Isha Ru'yulai if she was an Almana from a previous marriage. And therefore, like the Gemara speaks out of Mishum Almana, and Mishum Ba'ulalai. So what's the Kasha? It's a Kasha in Rabbi Yehuda Merav. Rabbi Yehuda Merav said, Nivala Shaloi Kedar Kapsula Lukuna Zak Rashi, she's possible to a Kohen Gadol. Mashma, that Bia Shaloi Kedarka makes her into a Ba'ula. If Bia Shaloi Kedarka makes her into a Ba'ula, how are you going to understand this price? The only way we could explain why we need Almana the Kohen Gadol to give an example of where someone was ma'anis a woman and she's not an isha ru'uyaloi is because maybe the bia was shaloi kedarka. Because otherwise, typically she's anyways a ba'ula. Why do you need her to have been an alman in a previous marriage? Now, if even a bia shaloi kedarka makes her into a ba'ula, then even a bia shaloi kedarka already makes her into an isha that's not ru'uyaloi. So, hajr kushal l'duchte, why do I need alman of the kohen gadol? Typically, any time a kohen gadol is ma'anis a woman, she automatically, it's not Isha Ru'ilai, and there should automatically not be a mitzvah of Eloisi Elisha. So who's it a kashan? It's a kashan of Yudah Merav. So the Gemara says the Pashta Teretz. Hamani Rameir here. The Gemara says Rav Yudah Merav was saying a halacha, but really he was being machriya machlekes tanav. And he was really, although he never said the words, he was paskin like Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. So being that that's what he was doing, so he's not intimidated from the fact that there's a brisa that doesn't shtim with his shita, because he'll always tell you, I know there's another opinion, there's a Rameir. I got didn't say my halacha according to Rameir. I was saying my halacha, alibi the Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. But the Gemara says like this, meaning, v'rav damik Rav Elazar, and Rav was saying his halacha, alibi the Rav Elazar. So the Gemara, an interesting kasha, ik Rav Elazar, if Rav was going according to Rav Elazar, then I have another problem. Because Ma'ir Yimishum Ba'ula, then why did Rav need to say that Talach is a Nivela Shalei Kedarka? She becomes Psula to a Kohen Gadol. L'chayra, Tepek, Lei, Dehavala, Zayna. L'chayra, she should be a Zayna. Why? Because the Amr, Rabbi Lazar has a Chiddish, that Pano Yabala, Pnuya Shalei L'Shei Mishos, Asa Zayna. Ordinarily, in order for a woman to be considered a Zayna, which she's going to be Asa L'Kayin, is, it would require not just a Maisa's Nos, but a specific type of Maisa's Nos. Rabbi Elazar is a Das Yochin and Shas. He holds that a Ponu Yahabala Pnuya. If you have a man that's not married, and you have a woman that's not married, and there was a Bia, and it was Shnuloy L'Shem Yishos, all it was a Ponu Yahabala Pnuya. That Loch is Asa Zayn. Now just to be clear, everybody holds that it's Aser for a Ponu to be Bala Pnuya. The question is, if Pani's Bala Pnuya Shaloy L'Shem Yisros, Asa Zayna, or Loy Asa Zayna? The Chum held that she doesn't become a Zayna. Rabbi Elazar held she does become a Zayna. But the bottom line is, Shnitas Rabbi Elazar is that she would become a Zayna. Now, if Shnitas Rabbi Elazar is that she would become a Zayna, so it comes out if there was a Bia Shaloy Kedarka, then for sure she's going to be a Zayna. If she's going to be a Zayna, then she's not only Nifsal L'Kayin Gadol, she's even going to be Nifsal L'Kayin Hedya. So if Rab was saying his halacha, aliba de Rabbi Elazar, then you have a problem. Because Rabbi Elazar, l'shita say, happens to hold that panuya ba'ala pnuya zasa Zayna. So why is she only Nifsal L'Kayin Gadol? L'chayra, she's also Nifsal L'Kayin Hedya. Now the truth is, just to stop for 1 second, Tosfos asks a very obvious question. Tosfos says that just because Rav holds like Rabbi Elazar with regards to Bia Shaloi Kedarka, whether it makes this woman into a Ba'ula or not, doesn't necessarily mean he has to hold like Rabbi Elazar with regards to the Halacha Panei Abala Pnuya Shaloi L'Shem Mishos Asa Azayna. So why can Rab say, I hold like Rabbi Elazar with regards to the Halacha Bia Shaloi Kedarka? I don't hold like Rabbi Elazar regarding the Halacha Panei Abala Pnuya Shaloi L'Shem Mishos Asa Azayna. Right, such an obvious question. As I freak Tosfos. But Tosfos says that the truth is, if you look more carefully in the Gemara, in Pshat in the Gemara is a little bit of a Tosfos. You know why? Because Rav never said that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar. Rav's lashon was, quote, V'rav de'omar ki Rabbi Elazar. Rav was saying what Rabbi Elazar would hold in this case. Tosfos says, if Rav would have said halacha k'Rav Elazar, no one would have asked this kasha. Because then you would say, maybe Rav holds like Rav Elazar regarding Bish, like Gedarka and Besula. He doesn't necessarily hold like Rav Elazar regarding Panaya Bala Pnuya. But that was never Rav's shita. Rav never said that halacha is like Rav Elazar. Rav said that I'm saying my halacha as if Rav Elazar's taught. I'm telling you what Rav Elazar would hold. V'Rav to Amar k'Rav Elazar. It's Lashon HaGemara. V'Rav, Zochti Gemara. Really? Rav Elazar would say this? He would never say this. Because according to Rav Elazar, it would be much better. According to Rav Elazar, she'd be a Zoyna, and she's a Zoyna. She'd be Aser. Number one, also Lav Zoyna. And besides, she'd even be Aser to a kind Hedin, not only to a kind Gadol. That's Tosfos. Dibra Maschel, Virav the Amak Rabbi Elazar, Ayin Sham, beautiful Pshat Tov in the Gemara. But either way, so that's the Kasha. So what's the Kasha if Rav's going according to Rabbi Elazar, which it clearly is, L'chayra, because Rav is saying that Biyash Leikid Arka would turn her into a Ba'ula. Remeir holds not that way, it was Rav Shimon that did, and for whatever reason, the Gemara's picking Rabbi Elazar, Virav the Amak Rabbi Elazar, L'chur, if Rav is going and he means Shitas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar, Pane Abal Apnu Yashloy Shanishas Hasa Zaino, this woman through this Biyash Leikid Arka is anyways a Zaino. So she's not only also to a Kain God, she's even also to a Kain Hedyet. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, you have to say Kegun Shenivala LeBehema. Maybe what's going on over here in Rav's case is this woman was Nivala, Shalika Darka, but not to a Adam. She was Nivala to a Behema. Okay. The Hasam Yishum Be'ula. At the end of the day, if Rav Elazar's sheet is that a Be'ish Shalika Darka makes her a Be'ula, she's going to be a Be'ula. Abba Mishum Zoyna Leka. But a Zoyna, that already she's not going to be. Because being that she was Nivala to a Behema, B.S. Behema, as we'll see at the end of the daf, doesn't make this woman into a Zoyna. I'm like, Abaya. It's Abaya Sememon of Shach. I don't know how you can spalt these two things. I Be'ula Havya Zoyna, Name Havya. If this Bia turns her into a Be'ula, that it should render a Zoyna as well. If Zoyna Lai Havya. And if she's not a Zoyna because it was a B.S. Behema, Be'ula Name Lai Havya, then she shouldn't be considered a Be'ula either. Meaning, Mamon of Shach, if B.S. Behema is not a Bia to make her into a Zoyna, and you don't have the halach of Tanei Abal Apnuya Shloi L'Shemishos Asa Zayna, because all it is a B.S. Behema. B.S. Behema doesn't make you into a Zayna, then L'Chayra, it shouldn't make her into a Be'ula either. Now, again, just to clarify one other point. If this was a Bia Kedarka, Abai would have never asked this Kasha. Because in a Bia Kedarka, you could hear that a B.S. Behema is not considered a Bia to make her into a Zayna, but it is a Bia to make her into a Be'ula. Why? Because a Bia Kedarka physically will remove her Besulim, and as a result, she's going to be considered a Bula. But this was a Bia Shaloi Kedarka. And you're telling me that a Bia Shaloi Kedarka, a Chiddish, that even though she still has a Besulim, she has a din of a Bula. Well, then, Mamon Amshach, if it's considered a Bia to make her into a Bula, then it should be considered a Bia, who a din, that she should be considered a Zayna. So the Gemara says, maybe the Havi Amukas Eitz, Shaloi Kedarka, you'll tell me that maybe really it's not a Bia. But Bia Behema is like Gara from a Mukaseitz, right? Mukaseitz of Ksubas Daf Tesfein. Right, so what's a Mukaseitz? A Mukaseitz is where a woman lost her Besulim, but it was through an injury. Literally, Mukas is Milosh and Haka, Eitz is what? But the point is, through an injury, she lost her Besulim. So maybe the Bia's Behema is really not a Bia. However, a Bia Shalai Kedarka of a Behema makes her Eitz Bula, just like if she was a Mukas Eitz Shalai Kedarka, maybe there too she wouldn't be a Besulim. But the Gemara says that can't be. There's no way that's the halacha. Because Im Kein, Ein Lecha Isha, Shekshera Lekohuna, Shalai Nasis Mukas Eitz, Al Yedei Tzor. Because if you're going to tell me that, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that a Bia Shaloi Kedarka makes a woman not into a Besula, and a Mukas Eitz Shaloi Kedarka does the same thing, so then the halacha should be that there's no Besulas, and there's no one for a Kohen Gadol to ever marry. And the reason is, because every woman is going to be a Mukas Eitz Shaloi Kedarka, and the Pashat Pshat is because when people went to the bathroom, they used to be Mekaneach with Avonim. Now, the Evan is an Eitz, so she's automatically going to end up being a Mukas Eitz. So who is the Kohen Gadol ever going to marry? That can't be. So there's no way a Mukas Eitz Shaloi Kedarka is considered a Mukas Eitz. Again, what's the Kasha? The Kasha is that if Rav meant Rabbi Elazar, L'chei Rav, Elazar holds that Pane Abala Pnuya is Asa Zoyna, and if Pane Abana Pnuya is Asa Zoyna, so why are you telling me Nivala Shaloi Kedarka, the Halach is that she's Nifsala, that she's Nifsala to Kohen Gadol, say better. She's even Nifsala to a Kohen Hedyet. Elam Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira said, B'mamenes. You have to say that the case is where she was married once, however she was a Ketana, and she was Nivala, only Shaloi Kedarka, because that's the case. The case is when she was only Nivala, Shaloi Kedarka, and then afterwards she did Miyun. So now Rav is saying that according to Rabbi Elazar, she has a din of a Be'ula, and the halach is she's not going to be able to marry a Kohen Gadol. Now you want to ask me a kasha, she should be a Zayna? Why would she be a Zayna? she was married at the time that she had this nos. And as a result, she's not a zayna. So therefore, it's not going to be a problem. Now again, just to clarify one other point, I think it's kedai, and that is pashu pshan in the Gemara. The Gemara tried finding a case where there was a bia shalai kedarka, but at the same time, she wasn't a zayna. Panoya bala pnuya, we're going, Rabbi Laz is already a zayna. So you have almost every single case makes her into a zayna. So the Gemara thought behema, but the Gemara had a problem with behema, and the Gemara had come up to Ma'menes. I don't know, just say better. She was married. Right? She was married. So why can't we just say simply she was married? The Teretz is, because if she was married, then how is she marrying a Kohen Gadol right now? What happened? Her husband died? She's an almana. Her husband gave her a get? She's a grusha. So the reason it's not so simple to just find the solution to this question is because if she was nivala to someone else, that means one of two things happened. Either there was a piyus nus, or she was married. If she was married, then she's a grusha almana. So it's not negated to marry a Kohen Gadol. Kohen headed, yeah. Amana, but a Kohen Gadol's not negated. If she wasn't married and we're going out with the Rebbe Laza, it's upon Abba Pnuya. So any situation is going to be a problem. So the Gemara had to come up with an eitzah. The Gemara had two eitzahs. One eitzah was Bias Behema, which the Gemara rejected. And the other eitzah was, we're talking about a Mamenes. A Mion is the case. You know why? Because Mion, you have a situation where she was married. So the Bia was not a Bias Nus. But at the same time, the marriage was terminated not because she became an Amana, not because she became a Grusha. There's no halacha that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a woman that does Mion. That's what the situation is going to be. So the Gemara is going to end me'inyan le'inyan, and that is, we just mentioned the concept of bias behema, and that bias behema would not render a woman a zayna. So if a woman had bias behema, she would not be considered a zayna. Zok the Gemara. Amar Rafsimi Barchia. Nivala behema, k'sher l'kuhuna. A woman that was nivala behema, she's allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. And the reason is, because nivala l'kuhuna is not considered a bia, it's not considered a bia, so there's no problem for her to marry a Kohen Gadol. She's also not a Zayna, and therefore, you know, it's a Tamari Kohen Hedya. But the Chiddush is, even a Kohen Gadol is not going to be a problem. Tayinami Hachi, it's a Braisa. Nivela, Lemisha Eino Yish. If someone was Nivela to someone that's not a man, Afa Pishne Beskila, even if it's an Isser, meaning this person's Chayv Skila for this Bia, Silk Sheru Lakunin, the Lach is, she's going to be able to marry a Kohen. So what does it mean she was Nivela, Lemisha Eino Yish? Rashi, one word, Behema, meaning she was Nivela to Behema. So you see this concept that Nivela, Behema is Ksheru Lakunin. Because Rav Dimi Omar, Rav Dimi came from Eretz to Bavel, he told over a story. Maisa, there was a Maisa Beriva Achas with a young girl, Behislu, that's a place. Shahisa Mechabedes Hasabai, she was sweeping the floor. The Rava Kelev Kufri Meacharel, and then a dog came, and this dog was Ba on this Riva Meacharel. It was Spia Shaloi Kedarka, the Echshira Rebbe Lekahuna. And Rebbe said that this woman's allowed to marry a Kayan, that it was a Bias Behema, Bia Shaloi Kedarka, she's allowed to marry a Kayan. Shmuel said, Kohen Gadol. She even could have married a Kohen Gadol. There were no Kohanim Gedolim in the times of Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Aleruya L'Kohen Gadol. What he meant to say was, she would have been Roy L'Kohen Gadol. Now Rashi says that this Maisa that the Gemara just brought is a Maisa Lister. It actually contradicts what we just said. We just said, Nivela L'Behemek Sheru L'Kuhuna. And then we brought a Maisa Shayu with Rebbe. Rebbe said, Mutta to a Kohen Gadol. It wasn't the same. Why? Because the Maisa with Rebbe was where it was a Bia Shalai Kedarka. So you see from me that only Bia Shalai Kedarka to a Behem is not considered a Bia. But Bia Kedarka would be considered a Bia. What Rav Simi Bar Chiya said, and what we had a Tanya Namiyachi from a Braisa was that Nivela LeBehema is always going to be Ksher Laguna. One last Gemara. Amalei Rava mi Pirkin le Rav Ashmi mi Parzakya is the proper Gersa. So Rava mi Parzakya told Rav Ashmi, no, Nils Adam Rabban and Ains Nus Lebehema. How did Chazal know Ains Nus Lebehema? That a Maises Nus Lebehema is not considered a Maises Nus. The Chsiv is learned from a Pasuk. It says in the Torah, like, Savi Esnan Zoyna, Umechir Kelev, Beis Hashem Alekecha. So what's an Esnan Zoyna? Esnan Zoyna is if somebody was Mezana with a Zoyna, and as compensation to the Zayna, he gave her a behema. So this behema right now is never allowed to be brought as a carbon. What's a mechir kelev? If somebody has a dog, someone else has money, or an animal, and they swap the money for the dog. Nothing to do with znus. But I give you a dog, you give me an animal. So a mechir kelev, something that was bartered for a dog, so the halach is also not allowed to be brought on the mizbeach. Okay. The Tanan we learned in the Mishnah. What happens if you have an esnan kelev or mechir zoyna? Esnan kelev is where someone gave a zoyna, a behema, in exchange for the zoyna to be mezana with a dog. Or mechir zoyna, somebody bartered an animal for a zoyna. So Yipashit bartered the animal, like he owned a shifcha, and he bartered the shifcha slash zoyna in this case for a for an animal. So nalach, in both of those cases are mutarin. You're allowed to put these respective animals on the mizbeach. Shenemar, because it says, loisavi es nanzayin mechir kalabes Hashem alikecha. At the end of the pasuk, it says, ki toyavas Hashem alikecha, gam shneyem. And we learn from there, shneyem is shnayim v'loy arba, that there's only two isurim in this pasuk, there's not four. The es nanzayin is a problem, the mechir kalab is a problem. But what we need is that the es nan kalab is not a problem. So Rava said, that why is the es nan kalab not a problem? L'chayra, isn't every esnan kelev an esnan zayna? Right? Someone gave a behemoth in exchange for this woman to be mezana with a kelev. Oh, the teretz is, ain't nus la behemo. That if a behemoth mezana does hasnish ka maises nus, and if that's the case, that's why it's not going to be a problem. Exhale. So just one ha'ara, one very interesting ha'ara, as it relates, sort of, to today's daf, and that is, the Gemara, in one of its discussions was, discussing what exactly defines znus. And the Gemara said, ein znus lebehema. Nivala lebehema, if a woman is nivala lebehema, she's ksheira lekahuna. That if someone is nivala to a behema, does hasnish kan maisa znus. Now, just to be clear, it's usur in the Torah for a person to be boil or to be nivala to a behema. Not only is it usur, it's very, very chomer. If someone does it, he was chayiv mises bezdin, he was chayiv skila. It's a parsha chamura in the Torah. The question, however, that Chazal were discussing was, is it a maises nus, or is it not a maises nus? Is it considered a bi, or is it not considered a bi? We know it's aser, there's no shayla, it's aser. The question is, who does haste a maise bi, who does haste nishke maise bi? L'may nafkemina, if a woman, a besula, was nivela to a behema, does she become a bula or not? Meaning if it was shalika darka, where really she didn't lose her besulim, but there were many tanam that held bi'a shalika darka also makes a woman into a bula. But what if she was nivela to a behema? Or there's a halacha that a zayna, kohen's not allowed to marry a zayna. If someone's nivela to a behema, would she be considered a zayna, would she not be considered a zayna? What happens if an ashes ish was mizana with a behema? Does she become asur labayla? She a saita now? Kishem shasur labal, kach asur labayo. Do you have all those halachas? What happens if you have an ishes koyin that was nensa al yudei behema? What's the halacha? Does she become asur to her husband? Or does she not become asur to her husband? What if there was a kinu vestira where a man was mekana his wife and said, al tisterim kelef ploini? It's a Mefurish Mishnah, Mesach Tesaita. In all these cases, we say that Ralach is Ein Znus Lebehem. Asa Hesish Kam Maisa's Nus. Aser Avada. It's one of the most chomer things in the Torah. But you want to know if it's Nus? It's not a Maisa's Nus. What it is an Iser. Igrada is something that happens through sort of a Bia. But you want to know, halachically speaking, whether we would term it a Bia? The Ralach is not. And with regards to all these different cases, does Hesish Da Maisa Bia? You see from here something very interesting. You see that just because someone does a ma'ase bia doesn't necessarily mean that from a halachic perspective does heis bia with regards to all the different halachas that we just mentioned. So with that segue, there was a very, very interesting discussion that the early achronim discussed that, believe it or not, came up very, very often. And that happens. What is if an ashes ish would be mezana, beratzin, to a shade, to a demon, to a shindalit? Would she become asalabayla, or would she not become asalabayla? What if she was an ashes kain and it happened ba'oinis? Would she be asalabayla, or would she not be asalabayla? The bia of a shade, is that considered a bia, or is it not considered a bia? Now you say it was a bia. No, but you see, in our Gemara, ain't nusla behema. Just like ain't nusla behema, so l'chura, they'd be mocking to say that maybe a bia with a shin dalad, with a shade, with a demon, is oichnish kan bia. So this was the shaila that, again, amazingly, was something that many tshuvas were written throughout the generations, where these were real shailas that crossed the desk of Gedolei Yisrael. What happens if a woman was nivela to a shade? Is she considered a maisa bia? Is it considered a maisa zlus? How is it going to impact her halachic status? Now, the first tshuva that was written on this topic was written by the Maram Milublin. And this is in the Chayil Sechuvas Maram Milublin. It's Sheila Kuf Tez Zayin. There's some old Tfusim where it's Kuf Tez Vav, but it's in the Nutfusim for sure, it's Shela Kuf Tezayin. And this was the exact question that was asked to the Maran. Someone was Nivala to a Shade, she's an HSH, and the question is, she did a Beratzin, does she become Asa Labayla, or does she not become Asa Labayla? So the Maran Lublin sat down, and he wrote a Tshuva, and he said, it's Pasha to him, it's Pasha without a doubt, that this woman is going to be Mutter Labayla. And he said, the reason is because you find that Ein Nusla Behema. And just like Ein Nusla Behema, why? L'chayra said in Maram, because Nus has to be Al Yedei, a person. But if it's not with a human, does Hasnish Kai Maisa's Nus? Like, I'm a beer. Abul Maisa, it's not with a human. So said in Maram, that in that same exact vein, L'chayra, the same will be true as it relates to a Shade. And just to make the point, the Maram said that one of the Gemaras that talks about Ein Nusla Behema is a Masechta Soif, it's in the fourth parak, and it says that if a man would be Mekanes Ishtay, and would say Altistari in Behema Ploini, so the halacha is that it would not be considered a Kinoi. It's a Mishnah. Al Yedei Kol Arayis Mekanen. Chutz Min HaKotan U'Misha Eino Yish. And the Gemara in Chavav Alin Beis, a Masechta Soif, says, what does it mean a Misha Eino Yish? So the Gemara says, it means a Behema. That if someone would be Mekanes wife and say Altistari with a Behema, so the halacha is it wouldn't be considered a Kinoi. Why not? It's not the Gemara, because it says in the Torah, V'Shachav Ish, Oysa Shichva Zera, Mivinela Me'ene Ishno. It says V'Shachav Ish. Ish is Lamute Katan, and Ish is also Lamute Behema. So said the Maram, so it's Pashit. If Ish is the requirement, and that's why no Katan, and that's why no Behema, so Mehai Taima, so too, it has to be an Ish, and therefore it's going to be a Shade, it's going to be a demon. A demon's not an Ish. So if a demon is not an Ish, it's Pashit to me, said the Maram, that a beer with a demon is not going to be considered a beer. The Rambam, in Hilchas Yisurei Beer Perek Yud Ches, this is all the Maram talking. The Maram is defining a zoyna. Mipia Shmuel lamadnu shna zoyna amura b'tayra. The zoyna that it says in the Torah, he calls she eino bas Yisrael oy bas Yisrael she nivala lo adam she asura lihi nasiloi. It has to be that she was nivala to a person that she wasn't allowed to marry. Okay, I'm skipping a little bit. Lefichach hanirvas lo behema. A woman that was nervous to a behema, afal pishi beskila, even though she's chayv skila, but lo nasa zoyna, she doesn't become a zoyna. For lo nifsala lekahuna, why? Sharei lo nivala la adam. Says the Maram, because she wasn't nivala la adam. Sok the Maram, it's before from the Rambam that the reason why, if a woman is nivala to a behema, she doesn't become a zoyna is, it's not a didn behema, it's because the Rambam said, Sharei loy nival ala adam. So if it's based on the fact that she was loy nival ala adam, l'chayra shin dalit is eichet nishkain adam, and if he's also not an adam, so l'chayra, you would have the same exact halacha. And then the Maram said, I think I have a raya from a Gemara in Yevamis, taf nun tes amid beis. Because the Gemara said, Amar Rav Simi bar Chiya, nival ala behema, k'shera l'kohuna. So on, woman was nival ala behema, she's k'shera l'kohuna. Right, that's this halacha in the Rambam. Tanya nami hachi. It's a brayse. Nivala l'misha enoy ish. Afal pisha beskilo. K'shneiro l'kohuna. Zok Rashi, what does it mean l'misha enoy ish? We spoke at this Rashi when we learned the Dav. One word. Behema. Freit to Maram. Why did the brayse say nivala l'misha enoy ish? If misha enoy ish means behema, so just say behema. Nivala l'behema. Afal pisha beskilo k'shneiro l'kohuna. It's a funny way of saying. Right? A behema asher enenu tahira. Right? It's like almost belosha nekia. So just say nivala lebehema. Nivala lemisha ena yish. Why are you saying lemisha ena yish? Let's just talk straight. Nivala lebehema. Zok de Maram, you know why? Because nivala lemisha ena yish doesn't only mean behema. It means behema in our sugi. And that's why Rashi taints the behema. But in other sugis, it might mean something else. It might mean a shade. It might mean a demon. And that's also going to be included in Nivala She'en Ish. So the bottom line is, the Maram was asked to Shaila if an Eishas Ish was Nivala to a Shade. She was Nivala Beratzen. Does she become Asa Labayla or not? So he said, the answer is no. You don't want to know why? Because just like you find in all the Makaris, today's daf, Ains Nusla Behema, and it's true regarding Kina Vestira, and it's true with regards to the Shemzoyna, and really it's true with regards to every definition of what Nivala means. So said the Maram, the reason is because a behem is nishkein ish, a shade is euch nishkein mensch. And if the shade is nishkein mensch, you can have the same exact halacha as it relates to a shade as well. Now this tshuva that the Maram wrote was a landmark tshuva, and it's something that the Beis Shmuel brings in Eben Ezer Simen Vav. It's Sifkot Yud Zayin. The Mechaber over there is discussing someone that was nirvas to a behemoth, all these halachas that we're learning about, says the Beis Shmuel, the chen hanivelis l'ruach oy l'sheid. The same will be true if someone was nivelis to a ruach or a sheid, afal gav sheparim v'rovim, even though they're able to procreate, as we'll see, abu asu eina asur l'bailo. She doesn't become asur l'bailo, ayin chuvas maram l'ublin simin kuf tezayin. So the Beis Shmuel quoted this maram, and this became the halacha l'dairis, that if a shayla like this ever happened, so it's enough in a shulchan aruch. Every rav knew that it's the Beis Shmuel, it's based on a tshuva from the Maram Milublin, from the Kadmoinim, so we knew what the halacha is. Stating that, not everybody agreed with this psak of the Maram. And Beroshim, just to mention one tshuva, there was a tshuva that was written by Rabbeinu Chaim HaKoyin Rappaport. So who's Rabbeinu Chaim HaKoyin Rappaport? So he was a Galitziano Goyin, he was the Rav in Lemberg, the Rav in Lvov, which was one of the largest cities in Europe, during the 1700s. And Reb Chaim HaKoyin Mirappaport was asked this shayla, the same shayla that Maram Lublin was asked, and he said that I hold that it's a tois. And the fact that the Maram so simply shtelt su, and he compared a shade with a behema, I don't think is pashut at all. And he based his chilek on a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph. So the Gemara over there is discussing the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. And one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach is Gilei Arayis. Now it says, V'hoyu l'basar echad. We learn from there, Misha nasim basar echad, Yotzu behema v'chaya she'en nasim basar echad. That Bnei Noach is only allowed to be together with someone with whom he can be a basar echad. As opposed to a behema and a chaya, she'en nasim basar echad. So what does it mean, Yotzu behema v'chaya she'en nasim basar echad? A ben noyach has an iser to be reveya or be nirva with a behema. Why? Because they're not basar echad. Zok Rashi, she'ein yoldin min ha'adam. The reason is because a man, if he's born a behema, won't be able to have a child. And being that you can't have a child with a behema, it's a felt in basar echad. And for that reason, there's a problem. Boyul basar echad means, tafki mishnasim basar echad, yotzu behema v'chayu, she'inasim basar echad. So, Reb Chaim HaKoyin said, that you see from here that the definition of basar echad is, could you have a child or you cannot have a child? And that's a big deal. Because you see that bias behema is something that's also to ben noyach. Why? Because you can't have a child through a behema. So he said a dover nifla. He said there's a gemara in Masechtas Bava Basra in the beginning of Perek HaMoicher HaSasvina. So in the beginning of Perek HaMoicher HaSasvina, you have the legendary Agadot Gemaras. All the Gemaras that tell the stories about Rabbi Bar Bachana. So these are the most esoteric of all Agadot Gemaras in Shas by far. And the Gemara there tells all these different things that Rabbi Bar Bachana saw. He do the Vilna Gaon wrote a sefer on these Gemaras. But in that Gemara, in those stories related to Rabbi Bar Bachana, so the Gemara says like this, Amar Rabbi, referring to Rabbi Bar Bachana, he said, L'didi chazili, I saw Hurmin Bar Lilas. So there was someone, Hurmin Bar Lilas, I saw him. And then he goes on, he tells this fantastic tale of what he saw happen, which even just translating in English, it's hard to understand what's exactly going on. He said, Kirat akufya deshur de mechuza. He said he was running on top of the wall of mechuza. Verat parsha kirachiv chevasa mitatoi. And then there were people like soldiers that were riding on animals underneath him. And they were trying to catch this Hurmin Bar Lilas, and they couldn't catch him. Zimna Chado, one time, have a Misargon Le Tarti Kudnaisa. He said there were two mules, Vikaimon Atre Gishre de Rognag, and they were standing on the two bridges of the city of Rognag. So there were these two bridges, and these two mules were on the two bridges. Vishavar Mehai Lahai, Mehai Lahai. And this Hurmin, he was so talented, he was able to jump from one mule to the other mule. Not just that, the Noki train Mizgi the Chamer Biyade, right? Try this. He was holding two full glasses of wine while he was doing this. He was like juggling them. So he's going from one bridge to another, from one mule to another mule, and he's juggling these glasses of wine. There wasn't one drop of wine from any one of these glasses that spilled on the ground. That day, it was a day where the weather was not good weather either. He was doing this in inclement weather. Ad the Shamu be Malchusa, until finally the Malchus heard about him, the Katlu, and they killed him. That's what happened. They went, and they ended up killing him. So the Rashbam says that, why did they kill him? Like, what did he do so terrible? Like, why did they kill him? So Rashbam says, two pshatim. One pshat says the Rashbam, the Ista Amri, be Malka Kesar, shloye yore, shloye yitala Malchus mimeno. Because they saw that this man was so powerful, he had tricks up his sleeve, that they thought that at some point they may end up losing the Malchus. And then the Rashbam says, Shoya Oisai, this person was a shade, but he was me'odam haba al ashida. He was from a man that was ba an ashida, vayudar beina anashim. And he was living between men. So this person was a half demon, half human. And that's where he had these crazy abilities from. But because of his abilities, he was dangerous. And that's why the Malchus decided, let's just take him out. And somehow they were successful in doing that. Doesn't seem like it would have been easy, but they eventually were able to execute him. And that was the end of Hurman Bar Lilas. But says the Rashbam, who was Hurman Bar Lilas? He was a mixed breed. He came from a zivug of a shade and a person. This was an Adam Haba Lasheda. That's why he was so dangerous. So Rabbeinu Chaim HaKoimi Rappaport said a davar nifla. He said, the Maram said that just like the Gemara says, Ein Znus L'Behema, so too Ein Znus L'Shed. L'Chayrin Svari, you can hear a chilek. He says, you know why? Because it's Gemavur in the Gemara Masech to Sanhedrin, that the Gemara says that Ben Noyach is Asar on a Behema. Why? About the Hayul Basarech. And Rashi says, what does that mean? It Yatsu Behema V'Chay Shein Yodim and Adam. I know, said Rabbeinu Chaim HaKoimi Rappaport, from an Ofen Rashbam in the Tzveita Pshat, in the third Maisa with Rabbi in the beginning of Bergamayichas Hasvino, that it's possible for a person to have a child together with a demon. So if a person can have a child together with a demon, that means it is Basar Echad. If it's Basar Echad, it's not on the same Madrega of not being a bee, like bee is behemoth. So just because you have Gemara's, Yivamis Nuntes, and Saito Chavav, and you have Ander Amar Fashid and Amar Makoimis that ain't Znus behemoth, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be ain't Znus as it relates to a shade. So said Rabbeinu Chaim HaKoyen that the Maram's tshuva was all predicated on the fact that if Ein Znus LeBehema, so too Ein Znus LeShin Dalet. Why? While LeBehema's Nishkain Ish, all the grace arayas that the Maram brought, he said, I hear. But at the same time, a Behema is different in terms of it not being an Ish than a Shin Dalet not being an Ish. A Shin Dalet might Bechepze not be an Ish. Or you could be Mekayim, Rashi's Pshan and Sanhedrin Unches of a Hoyu LeBasar Echad. Because at the end of the day, they're Yoldin Min Adam. So maybe that would be enough for it to be considered an Ish, as opposed to a Behema where it's Ein Yoldin Min Adam. That's Manish not considered Ish. That was the Ara of Chaim HaKoyen. And then he said, I have one more Ha'ara. I have one more Ha'ara. He said, we all know this Gemara. One of the most famous Gemaras in Shas. Definitely in our Chabura. And that is the Gemara Masechtas Megillah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara said, Vayhi b'yos Yeshua b'richai. Vayis na'en, if he looks up, Vayar v'hinei isha oimid l'negdai. There was a man that was standing towards him. Vayishtach when he bowed down. Freak the Gemara. V'heich yavid hachi. How was Yeshua ben Nun allowed to bow down to this person? V'am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asa la'adam shi'itin sham l'chaber b'layla, chay shinon shem ha'shedu. Yeshua ben Nun sees this man. He's in Yerichai. He has no idea who he is. And he bows down to him. How is the lad about down to maybe he's a shindalid? So the Gemara says, Shani Hasim Dom Malaika and Isar Tzva Hashem. I meant maybe he was lying, yet a Messiah that Shadim don't lie. Frank Reb Chaim HaKoyen, what does the Pasuk say? Vayhi b'yos Yeshua b'richai, vayisa ena vayar, vihine ish, oyme l'negdai. He said if he saw an ish, then by definition he should have known he wasn't a shade. Because the Maram said that an ish is nishkan shade. And just like Behemoth is a smite from ish, so Shadim are also a smite from ish. So what was the Gemara's kasha that maybe it's a shade? It couldn't have been a shade. Because it says in the Pasuk, V'hine ish, said Reb Chaim HaKoyen, Mirapaporn, Snoisai Meres, you see from his shade, could be an ish. A behema can it zayn an ish. A beshade can zayn an ish. It's not necessarily this mind from the shame ish. And that's the way he was doicha the whole tshuva from the Mara. So Emma says, there were so many tshuvas written on this. Most of them in defense of the Mara. Just mentioned, Bekitzer Nimritz, one last tshuva that was written on this topic. And it was written by the Machna Chaim. So who is the Machna Chaim? The Machna Chaim, his name was Reb Chaim Seifer. He was a Yid that lived in Preshburg, but not from the Chassam Seifer's Mishpacha. Right? So Kiyodua, there were two Seifer families in Preshburg. There was the Chassam Seifer, and then there was the other Seifer family. So if you lived in Preshburg, you weren't related to the Chassam Seifer, you were from the other Seifers. But the other Seifers, Nishkahat from Vusse Shemin, tremendous goyim, tremendous mechaber svarim, and one of them was the Baal mechaber Sefer Shailos Hachuvas Machna Chaim, who, by the way, was also a Talmud Muvik of the Halakha Chassam Sofer. But anyways, his tshuvas are famous, but English tshuvas, a lot of kanois, but the Machna Chaim in his tshuva was asked this Shaila. And he brings a real life story, a Maisa Shaya Kachaya. So you can't read the whole story, but the Maisa goes be'erich like this. He said the person who asked him the question was a shver. He says, "Ashen nishalti mi pi chami Oyev Torah, Umechabe Torah, Yori Elikim, Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Deitch, Zachroine Levracha, Hamaisen Shahaya Kachaya. This was a real story. He says Hishver was a businessman, and he was involved in a business deal together with four Soichrim. Now they had to discuss something, this was very private, and he didn't want to discuss it inside the city. And he says the reason is because Yeshua is Nayim Makaisel, and they didn't feel that there was a place that they can have this conversation that they were having in an area where it was safe. So they decided they're going to go late at night into the field, and that's where we're going to have this conversation. Now, it seems they were a shtickle superstitious, and they were a little worried about Kishuv, so they wanted to make sure there was also going to be no shadim in the area. So what they did was they took a pillow. Apparently, there was some mesaira that if you're worried about shadim, you take a pillow, and you take a knife, and you start stabbing the pillow with this knife, and that's going to make any kishuf that might be going on go away. Anyway, so that's there. And they're knocking, and they're mamish terracing. There's pillows, feathers flying all over the place, right? You can picture the scene. And that's what's happening. And all of a sudden, as this is going on, they hear a voice. And it was the voice of a woman. And she's like crying, and she's screaming. So they quickly look, and they see this woman. And they actually recognize her. They knew her from the start. She was married to someone that they knew. And they said, "What are you doing here in the field?" And she says, thank you. I mamish have to thank you. She says, what did we do? Like, what happened, right? She says, you just saved my life. And she starts telling them a story that 3 years earlier, she was home, and her husband was away, and then a shade appeared, and the shade was Mazana with her. And Bekitzer, she said that she was under the clutches of this shade. And this was a problem, and it was going on for a very long time, and it was a very, very big issue, and she didn't know what to do, and the shade warned her and threatened her, and this was mamish a very big, big problem. But when they were sitting there with the knife, which was supposed to somehow obliterate all the shade then, they killed the shade. And mamish, while she was mamish in this matzav of sakana, all of a sudden the shade was killed, and she thanks them, and then she says, "But I need you to do me one favor, and you have to swear, mamish, a shvu de raisa, that you're not going to tell anyone anything about the story, because if my husband finds out, it's over, I'm finished, and you just have to keep this a secret, no one's allowed to know." And they were mamish so frightened, I mean, about this whole story, right? And they swore, mamish, b'shvu de raisa, b'shema malchus, they're not going to tell anybody. Anyways, the Machnech Chaim Shver comes home, and all of a sudden he starts. He's having night. He can't believe. He says this woman was mezana to a shade, and she's living with her husband. This is above his pay grade. And he decided that, you know, he has an Eidim that's in this geschäft, who's a big meishiv. He's one of the Kreiser Poiskim. He's going to send the Shiloh to the Eidim, and he's going to ask his Eidim, "Vos oletot? Like, how's he supposed to handle this? Like, he's supposed to tell the husband? Like, what really is he supposed to do?" So he sends the shaila to his son-in-law. And here's the short version of the story. The short version of what he told him was, "Asher chakarti v'heishavti l'chami sheyishtoik." I told my shaila he shouldn't say one word. He shouldn't say anything, and he should make believe this whole story never ever happened. That was his psak. And then he wrote 3 pages explaining what his psak was. So he said like this. The ikker reason that he's being mako is because we have a tshuva from the Maram. And the Maram said that if a woman is nivelo l'sheid, so the halacha is that she doesn't become aser. Because be a sheid is like be a behem. And he says, even though Andere wanted to be mefakvek, but he says the Beishmul brought a la halacha, and we know the Beishmul in Avin Ezer, right? He's the Magen Avram and Erechayim, so it's an Avin of Beishmul. So if an Avin of Beishmul, so it's Pashid, and L'chayr, based on that, we have the Psak of the Maram. But he said that the Emes is he can be Moisef a few other things. Listen, this is just some Goyness. We're not going to go into any of these points. But just, Mamish Bekitzer, he says that he swore. He swore that he wasn't going to tell. So L'chayr, it's a shvur. He can't tell. He said, I know what you're going to say. No, the shvur's not chal. Because you're a nishma levatalas amitzvah. And a nishma levatalas amitzvah is nish kein shvur. Shvur is nachal levatalas amitzvah. You have a mitzvah to tell. Because as long as you don't tell, he's living be'issa with his wife. So don't you have an obligation to tell? So he said like this. The shvur wasn't just, I'm not going to tell the husband. The shvur was, they're not going to tell a soul. They wouldn't tell anybody. Now, they don't have to tell anyone else. So the shvur not to tell anyone else was zichachal. So once the shvu is chal not to tell everyone else, it's chal be'issa koilel on the husband also. This is what he said. He said, but it's a koil, it's chal on the husband. It's chal on everybody else. So once it's chal, right? In shvul, nishvul vatel smith is a problem of isachal alizer. So in shvul, chal al shvul. So over here, but it's a koil, once it's chal for them, let it be chal for him. That was one thing he said. Another thing he said was, Godul covered abriyah shadoicha loisa se shabbatayra. And he says, if you're going to go ahead and you're going to tell this man, his whole family's going to fall apart. I mean, you can imagine, as I'm maisa, the whole family's going to fall apart. And then what's going to, it's going to be bizyoinus. So he said, Godul covered abriyah shadoicha loisa se so it's going to be okay. Now, if this svara sounds familiar, because this was the famous svara of the Noid of Yehuda in Arachayim Kamas Simin Lamed Hey, where there was a person where, right, he was Mazana with Chamoisai for 3 years and he wanted to do tshuva, and he did tshuva, and he's fasting Bahab, and he's doing Gilgul Shalik. The only thing is he never told the shver about what happened. So the question was, does he have to tell? And the Noid of Yehuda tried giving an eitzal, God will cover Abriya Shadoich HaLoisish B'Tayr. But Lamaisi, he rejected it, the Noid of Yehuda. But Zok the Machna Chayim, even though the Noid of Yehuda didn't like the Svara, I do like the Svara. Pleitzis. And I like the Svara. And because I like the Svara, it didn't matter to him. It didn't matter. And he said, I hope that's a Svara Lahakil. And then he said, but there's another problem. The problem is, how do you believe her? I mean, Noniach was a shade, right? I mean, that's the obvious question. It's not possible to go through the sugya without wondering, I hear it, if you knew it was a shade, and he had ID, Klar, he's a shade, then Beseder. But how do you know he's a shade? Mecha Teisa, he's a shade. So he tainted that she has a Cheskes Kashis. He said, you're saying you know who she is? Cheskes Kashis, it's going to be fine. And based on that, it's absolutely not going to be an issue. The bottom line is, he had the Psak of the Maram. He said, that was his Iker Psak. We trust her. She has an amonis to say it was a shade. That's what he said. I said they never saw the znos, right? So they're taking her word for it that there was a znos, and she's saying it was with a shade, and because she's saying it was with a shade, so therefore at the end of the day, you accept what she said, and because you accept what she said, so the bottom line is, he said that based on this tshuva of the Maram, it's going to be okay. Lamaisa, he brings the tshuva of Reb Chaim HaKoyim Rappaport, right? He brings this whole tshuva where he was doicha, the tshuva of the Maram, right? He said, yeah, two rayas not like the Maram. He said, one was from the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Chesam and Aleph, and from the Rashbam and Amoiches HaSvino, Dafayin Gimel on the base, and the other one was from the Gemara Megillah Daf Gimel. He says both rayas he's not master. He said first of the Gemara Megillah Daf Gimel Vayi Biyos Yeshua Berichoy Vayar Hine Ish Oimed Lenegda. He says what kind of raya is that? Of course he was ish. The Torah calls him an ish because Lafia Emes he wasn't a shade. The Torah is telling you the truth. The truth is he was an ish. When Yeshua saw him, maybe he wasn't an ish. Chesnish. Whether the Torah would have defined him as an ish or not is not playing out in real time when Yeshua sees him. Yeah, Lafia Emes, it refers to him as an ish. Now, what about the taina, Kishmaka taina? The how could you shell to be a spehema to be a shade? Be a spehema can't result in a child. But a bee of a shindal could result in a child. Vaharaya, Yabdurashbam, Mesachtes Bava Basra. Said the Machna Chayim that it could be that there's a chilik between a man being born a female shade versus a male shade being ba on an isha. And he actually says a whole scientific explanation for why that could be the case. Mom is a full page, he's Rambans and Midrashim, where he explains what the yesoidus of a person and how that chilik would make sense. And the bottom line is, he says, it's true, you see from the Rashbam, that Hurman Bar Lilis, his father wasn't a shade and his mother was a shade. But you don't necessarily see it in the reverse. So if you don't necessarily see it in the reverse, he says, the Maram knew this Rashbam, but he must have held that even though maybe it could be Mechalik based on the Gemara Sanhedrin, but there's for sure a chilik between the man and the woman, depending on who's the shade and who's the shida. Bottom line, this is what he said. But just to end, and that is that as it relates to this inyan of a man being born a shida, so what came to mind is the Zohar HaKadosh. Right, the Zohar HaKadosh says, we know that Esther was married to Achashverosh. And Chazal say that she was Yosheves Pechekoi Shal Achashverosh, V'toyvelas, V'yosheves Pechekoi Shal Mordechai. Toysa Esther Kasha, what about Avchana, V'yishloim HaShoysa Meshameshes B'moich, and all the famous raid. But it's Yadua that in the Sifrei Kabbalah, there's a whole other mahalach to this. And that is, the Zohar HaKadosh says that Esther was Mashpia, a Shida, and when she was Mashpia, the Shida, it was the Shida that ultimately was together with Achashverosh. So she herself was never with Achashverosh. It was only the Shida that was with Achashverosh. In fact, so the Ander of Azogin, Sifrei Kabbalah, that Dayovesh was the son of Esther and Achashverosh, it's not true. He wasn't the son of Esther and Achashverosh. Dayovesh was the son of this demon and Achashverosh. And that would explain why Dayovesh has a din of a guy and not a din of a year. And this ties into all that raid. But the bottom line is, Azoish Shnei in Sifrei Kabbalah, Oh, but the Ben Ishchai in the Ben Yoyada says that that's Pashit. The Zohar Kaddish says that she was Mashpia Shida and had a child, right? Like Horman Bar Lilas, right? Everyone's bringing Horman Bar Lilas. L'chari you have Esther, Shtiklar. But the emes is, he says that it's true she was Mashpia Shida, but until the end. Until the end, that last time that when she went in and she was Nivala Beratzin, so the Ben Ishchai said that at that point she was Takin Nivala, at that point she was Takin Nivala Beratzin. And the Svar Makdoshim Taich, based on this, that Mordechai tells Esther, Al Tidami Benafshech, Ki Im Hacheresh Tacharishi Be'isa Zois, Revach Vatzolo Yamid Li Yehudim, B'makim Acher. So the Svar Makdoshim, the Chesidus of Svar Taich, that up until now Esther was sending this demon in to be with Achashverosh. So Mordechai told Esther that Al Tidami Benafshech. Don't do that now. Don't send the dmus of you. Al Tidami. Don't send the dmus. You know why? Because Kim Acharish Tacharishi. Because if you yourself are not going to do what you need to do, then Revach Vehatzola Yamidu Yehudim Mimokim Acher. The Revach Vehatzola is going to come, but it's going to come from the Mokim Acher. It's going to come from the Sitra Achara. And if the Revach Vehatzola is going to come from the Sitra Achara, it's not going to be Beshlemus. And if it's not going to be Beshlemus, there's going to be a Chsarin in the Hatzola of Klal Yisrael. So he says, Al Tadami Ben Avshech. This is not, you can't do that anymore. You can't go anymore with a Dimyin. Because Kim Hachrish Tacharishi Revach Vehatzola Yamad La Yehuda B'makim Acher V'advarim Matikim. This is a fascinating question. What this reminded me of a little bit was the Chacham Tzvi Shaila. Obviously a very different sugya. But the Chacham Tzvi Shaila, if the Goylem is Mitzdarif to a minion, right? How do you don a Goylem and a Sheikh and all these different, like, these creatures that are in between somehow? And the question is, how does Allah view them? Right? The Chacham Tzvi had it said that the Goylem wasn't just a person, that the Goylem was a Yid. He's even Mitzdarif Laminyan. Right, that the Goylem could actually be Mitzdarif Laminyan. Incidentally, I heard from Rav Ernst, the Shlita, recently, told me that, you know, the Mishnah Brura actually brings the halach, the Mishnah Brura, in Hilchas Tvila. So he's discussing the halachas of Minyan, and he says, Ayin b'chacham tzvi. So let's take a look at the chacham tzvi, where the chacham tzvi cleared whether or not a Goylem is Mitzdarif Laminyan. So he says, yes. He says, the Mishnah Brura had to bring this chacham tzvi, but this is halacha l'maisa, in case somebody builds a Goylem today in his backyard, so he should know whether he can count it for a Minyan. Like, Pasha, what's the hava? I mean, why would he have to bring it? It's a good ar. He said, Mistana, he said the Chafetz Chaim was giving the Yidin Amunah. He was being mechazik there. And he was trying to tell Klal Yisrael, he was trying to show us, I'm also giving a Goylem, I'm also giving Koiches. Today we live in a world of Hestapanim. Today we live in a world where these things all seem very, very foreign. But once upon a time, there was a Goylem. And you should know, once upon a time, there was a Yid, the Poisek Adar, the Chacham Tzvi actually wrote a tshuva, whether or not the Goylem could be Mistara Flaminian. Again, the Inyan Le'inyan, very much not Ba'isa Inyan, but this is the fascinating shmuz. It's just an overview of a classic discussion that appears a lot in the tshuvas from Gedolei Yisrael. I thought it was kedai just to do a very, very rough overview.